All right, it's 4 o'clock, so I think we'll kick this meeting off. Call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg, absent. Bruns, absent.
Okay. Moving forward here, looking at just kind of a quick rundown. Any additions or subtractions to the agenda in front of you, you've seen ahead of time? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Okay, moving on. Also in front of you are the minutes from our previous meeting on 5/17, I believe. So do I hear any objections, any changes, deletions to the minutes?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think it said, I was trying to pull it up here, but didn't it say Karen was absent, but then actually wasn't?
She came late.
She came late, yeah. That's good.
That's why it's showing it. Well, yeah, anyway, that's one thing I noticed.
Because it was real windy when she left and she came back.
Yeah, it's shown here that she is shows absent.
But then she was.
She did come.
She was part of the. Mm-hmm. I think there's. She might have even made a motion or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just that's the only thing I saw.
Good point. We'll correct those. Okay. So with the exception of the correction, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
And I'll second.
Motion and second with the changes mentioned. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving forward here, we've got some people here from some Des Moines that want to give us some information. So what I'm going to do is forego the public comments section since there's no one else out there. Also, I'm going to make the motion that we move to a closed session to discuss the matter presently in litigation with counsel pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.51C.
Second.
Everybody in favor of moving to that? Signify by saying aye. Or let's go with roll call vote.
Yeah.
Brecky?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Okay. You want to go through the other room? All right.
Are you staying in here so I can make my first impression?
Okay, let the record show that we have returned to the room, and I will entertain a motion to take us out of closed session as per Iowa Code Section 21.51C.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor, roll call vote.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Motion carried. On that note, we will move forward. As we've got some people here, just FYI, the way these work, since we've been through the closed session, if there's any public comments out there, I'll ask for those ahead of time on any action except the CUPs that we have in front of us. We will have a portion if there's any comment out of anyone on those ahead during the hearing. Then what will happen is we will listen to the presentments, I guess you may say, for the CUP on the matters in front of us. We'll close our discussions and make a decision and move on from there. So with that, I'll ask, are there any public comments that need to come before the board before we move into our hearings? Not hearing any, we'll move on. The first one in front of us is CUP 06-17, Manette's Temporary Construction Demolition Landfill Site. Emily.
Okay. This is a conditional use permit application for, like you said, a temporary construction demolition landfill site. The proposed location is in Section 13 of Washington Township. The applicant is Chris Son with Manette's. The property is actually two parcels, and it each are zoned differently. The north parcel is zoned commercial light industrial, and then the parcel to the south, the 40-acre parcel, is zoned A1. So just a little bit of background. Story County Planning and Development Department learned about this site activity from the city of Ames when they inquired about what was happening on the site. We asked them to, we asked Manats to submit a conceptual review application, and we held a conceptual review meeting on April 27th. They applied for a conditional use permit for a temporary construction and demolition site. In 2016, a floodplain development permit was issued for an agricultural building on the site. This agricultural building was never built. But in early 2017, Manats removed the topsoil from approximately 5 acres on the site, and the topsoil has been stockpiled on the south edge of the area of disturbance. So about 2 acres of the site have been elevated to meet the requirement of at least 18 inches above the base flood elevation for development. This is located in the 1% annual chance floodplain, or the 100-year floodplain. We did do a land evaluation site assessment evaluation on this property, and the LISA score is 191. So the nature of the request is for a temporary place for stockpiling about 15,000 tons of milled asphalt and broken concrete through November of 2018. The temporary crushing that they'd like to do on the site would be late summer, early fall of this year, and it will last approximately 2 to 3 weeks. The existing materials on the site have come from the City of Nevada's 6th Street Project, the I-35 Resurfacing Project, and the I-35 Highway 30 Interchange Project. The material that they ultimately crush on the site will be used for those two Iowa Department of Transportation projects on Interstate 35. So in the event that Manats bids for additional projects in the area, an extension of the conditional use permit may be granted through a new application or modification to this conditional use permit. So the vicinity map, we have I-35 north and south here, Highway 30 here. This intersection is the one they're redoing the interchange on. The site's located less than a mile from that project. And then another project, the other resurfacing project, is further south in North Polk County and South Story County. So here's a little zoomed-in version. Again, the northern parcel is zoned commercial light industrial, and the southern, about 40 acres, is zoned A1. We do have to the east of this property some A2. This is Hallett Materials, Manats, extraction use there. And then to the west of that, in between the two sites, there's the old truck stop that was located at that intersection. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation for this property is Rural Urban Transition Area and Natural Area. Again, it is in the floodplain. A floodplain development permit is required for this site for this new use. The floodplain coordinator needed to wait until they got the use approved to issue that. So the total size of the site is about 50 acres. Again, the impacted area is about 5, and it's located in the northeastern corner here. Prior to the stockpiling use, the site was used as agriculture and then natural area. Looking at the proposed site plan, the two existing piles that are there, broken concrete, the blue pile, and then the milled asphalt here, they are anticipating more broken concrete. And so additional location for that would be to the south of there. The crushing machine, they're proposing to put on the east side of the site there, and then the future crushed concrete pile would kind of take replace the broken concrete pile. They would anticipate vehicle parking on the south here, and then the topsoil that was removed is stockpiled on the southern side of the site. So here's some site photos. This is looking south. This is looking northwest from southeast 18th Street at the site. Looking down southeast 18th Street toward Hallett Materials. Looking northeast from the subject property, you can see the gas station across Highway 30 there. Looking northwest from the site, you can see the part of the area that they've removed the topsoil from, and then this is the area that they've built up there. West from the site, there is there's a treed area to the west of the site. Again, here's the stockpile of topsoil that they have actually seeded to help prevent erosion. Looking south at the topsoil berm, and you can see the agricultural row crops to the south of the berm there. Here's looking east across South Dayton Avenue. There has recently been a temporary asphalt and concrete batch plant permitted by the City of Ames. That truck stop is within the City of Ames, temporary for that site. A special use permit was granted, so they are doing work there already. And then looking northeast toward Highway 30. There is a frontage road along the east and north sides of this property, and that will remain available throughout the project. So the equipment that you might expect to see, these are provided by the applicant. There will be an Excel crushing plant, which is a portable crushing plant, and is regulated by the Department of Natural Resources. There will be an excavator on site, and then a track loader. So in terms of standards of approval for conditional use permits, the first one is compatibility. Again, this is a temporary use. There will be no permanent structures built. They're close to an existing extraction site, and the newly permitted asphalt and concrete batch plant at the old truck stop there, right along 30. There's row crop production to the south. In terms of transition, the stockpiles are visible from U.S. Highway 30 and Dayton Avenue. There's that wooded area to the west that provides a buffer on the west side. Highway 30 is raised up a little bit and does provide a bit of a buffer. The topsoil berm is located on the south side of the property, so again provides a little bit of transition between the stockpiles and the agricultural land. And then there was recent investments in the Ames Gateway light sculptures that they put up along Highway 30, but those are about a third of a mile to the east of this site. So this is driving east on Highway 30. You can see the trees really do provide a bit of a buffer. When you get, you really can't see the stockpiles until you get are directly north of them, and you can see them, the asphalt here and the concrete here. In terms of traffic, the applicant is estimating about 150 truckloads per day during the peak hauling period, which would be equivalent to about 300 vehicle trips per day, or throughout the whole project, it would be about 1,800 dump truck loads. The hours of operation would be 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. The increase on this road would be temporary, but the use is pretty essential for the I-35 projects to be completed. In terms of a haul route, the westbound Highway 30 exit to Dayton Avenue is closed currently, which would be right here. So the proposed route would just take Highway 30 down to Duff, exit there, and then really just get back on Highway 30 to take the south exit onto Dayton Avenue. Parking and loading will all take place outside of the right-of-way on the private property. The employee parking will be on the south side of the site. General public will not access or visit the site, so no parking is necessary for the public. The applicant anticipates probably just one employee during stockpiling working at the site, and then like around five employees during the material crushing, that 2 to 3 weeks in late summer or early fall. No exterior lighting will be used. Again, the hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Trucks turning signage is recommended as a condition for the conditional use permit. Environmental protection, silt fence, there has been silt fencing installed on the south side of the site. Floodplain development permit is required. Again, that will come in if this conditional use permit is approved. A flood evacuation plan will be required as a part of that flood development permit, and that will be reviewed by the floodplain coordinator and the county emergency management director. In total, with the crushing machine and the equipment, there's a potential to have about just over 900 gallons of petrochemicals on the site. The equipment also holds about 500 gallons of fuel in total. Here we're just looking at the existing silt fence that wraps around the south side of the topsoil berm. So if the board concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability the development will, first thing, is not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. There are no single-family dwellings immediately adjacent to the site. There are those two extraction sites to the east. Again, that asphalt and concrete plant, the temporary plant, is located to the northeast at the truck stop. Number two, impair an adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties. The crushing equipment is set up with water spray bars to suppress the concrete dust, and again, that's regulated by the DNR. Dust is expected to be minimal, and the crushing will only take place for about 2 to 3 weeks. Number three, unduly increased congestion in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. Again, this is going to be a temporary increase in traffic at the site. Existing traffic is really limited to the extraction uses to the east on that road there. There is going to be some more traffic because of the temporary batch plant that has been permitted by the City of Ames. And then, as we'll see in the next conditional use permit application, they are proposing another batch plant on the east side of 560th Avenue, about half a mile south. Number four, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining and surrounding property. The county assessor's office raised no concerns about property values, and we don't anticipate any negative impacts. Number five, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or county cornerstone to capstone plan. The Ames Urban Fringe plan does designate this as rural urban transition area, and in this designation should permit interim development to occur in a manner that will support long-term urbanization of the Ames Urban Fringe. Again, we think the proposed construction and demolition landfill site is a necessary use for completing the I-35 projects and supporting urbanization in the Ames Urban Fringe area. Is it also designated natural areas within the Ames Urban Fringe Plan? In this case, the goal would obviously be to minimize impacts, negative impacts to the natural area. But in the case that it is necessary to do these, to have uses like this in the natural area, we just have to do our best to regulate them. So this use complies with the best management practices of the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and the Iowa Statewide Urban Design Specifications. The topsoil berm has been planted with grass to minimize erosion. The southern portion of the property will continue to be farmed. And then again, they have also already installed silt fences along the south side of the site. The Ames Urban Fringe also has a policy to locate future development outside of flood hazard areas, but then includes where development is allowed in the floodplain, require the development to be elevated, flood-proofed, and located outside of the floodway. Again, this area has been raised up, and it's approximately 3 feet above the floodplain. This temporary site has been elevated, and that is a requirement of the floodplain permit, which will be required for the use to continue. The floodplain manager wanted to be sure the applicant knew that they would need a floodplain permit and that they would need to submit a an evacuation plan in the case of a flood. Emergency management had questions about what sorts of chemicals would be on the site, and then what the plan would be for removing those chemicals in the case of a flood. Planning and development asked a whole bunch of questions about hours and traffic, the height of the materials, and so on. We sent out public notification letters to surrounding property owners on June 1st regarding this application. We did receive a phone call from a resident with concerns about the aesthetics of the use on the site, and then also the potential for flooding and the impact that the project might have on flooding in the area. This resident also came to the Planning and Zoning Commission on June 7th and to express his concerns regarding the aesthetics and the flooding. So just some points to consider for the conditional use permit. Again, this is a temporary use. Any impact should also be temporary in nature. We feel that uses like these are necessary to accommodate long-term growth and development in the Ames Urban Fringe. Story County Land Development Regulations. The conditional use chapter requires that these sites, these construction demolition landfill sites, be in the A1 Agricultural District. But when they are in the A1 Agricultural District, they need to have a LISA score less than 267. And again, the score for this site was 191. The proposed site is near extraction sites, the recently improved batch plant, and then within a mile of the I-35 Highway 30 interchange project. Planning and development staff do support the recycling of materials for projects like these. And a floodplain development permit will be required for this use, including a flood evacuation plan. So on June 7th, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval for the conditional use permit for Manat's temporary construction and demolition site, as put forth in Conditional Use Permit 0617, with the following conditions. So this conditional use permit will expire on November 30th, 2018. If an extension of the use is requested, either an application for a separate conditional use permit or a modification to this conditional use permit request will be required. The gravel pad should be allowed to remain on the site for up to 1 year following the expiration of the conditional use permit, at which point the area must be restored to its original condition if the applicant hasn't applied for another conditional use permit. The applicant, again, shall submit a flood evacuation plan to be reviewed by the county's floodplain manager and emergency management director. And trucks turning signage will be required during major hauling days. And all signage within the right-of-way will need to either be approved by the City of Ames or the Iowa Department of Transportation, depending on the location of the signage. So the options for the board today are the following. You can, they might approve a conditional use permit as submitted. Number two is our recommendation recommendation by the Planning and Zoning Commission to approve with the conditions that we just talked about. This could be denied or remanded back to a future meeting. Any questions?
Thank you, Emily. Any questions, board?
No?
No, not for me.
Anyone here that wishes to add anything to speak for Nats? If not, okay, then we'll close the session. Board, what do you want to do?
I make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit for the Manass temporary construction and demolition landfill site as put forth in case CUP 06-17 with the four conditions that were listed.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion from Scarlett, a second from Brecky. All in favor, roll call vote.
McGill?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Motion carries. There you go. That's one. Next, we'll move on to CUP 05-17,
yes.
The temporary asphalt patch plan.
I have a letter received to you guys as well.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So this is a conditional use permit for a temporary asphalt batch plant. The applicant is Joe Manat. The operator of the batch plant would be Henningsen Construction. The current property owner is Doris M. Plath and the Doris M. Plath Revocable Trust. Again, the temporary asphalt batch plant, CUP 05-17, it's for a portable temporary plant that will operate through October 2017 of this year. It will operate during the evening, Sunday through Friday, so it's from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. The point is to produce asphalt for road construction projects. On I-35, I'll show you a map here on the next slide. But to produce asphalt, you need this type of plant so that you can mix and heat and dry the ingredients and then take them to the site. The Planning and Zoning Commission did hear this request at their June 6, 2017 meeting and recommended approval with conditions. So here's the site of the project that this asphalt patch plant will serve. You can see that it's similar to the project from the previous case, starting in Polk County, 1.6 miles of Northeast 134th Avenue up to Highway 210, includes the exit ramps and entrance ramps at 210, and then the northbound and southbound lanes of Interstate 35 to 3.5 miles north of Highway 210, so near Huxley. This is the vicinity map of where the plant will be located. It's a little star on it. It's in Grant Township, right by I-35 and Highway 30. We'll zoom in so you can see it better. This is the zoning and surrounding land use map. So you can see this is the interchange of 30 and 35 up here. You have Hallett's Materials to the north, and then this is the site. The closest dwelling is pretty far away. It's across the interstate. And all the adjacent parcels you can see are in agricultural use unless they're owned by Hallett's and have that extraction use on them. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation, again, here's the parcel. It's a natural area like the previous designation. It's because there is floodplain on the property, as is the previous case. There has been a base flood elevation study done on this area. It's not in the floodway where you would expect to have the highest velocity waters. But a floodplain development permit is required. That is contingent on the approval of the conditional use permit. The applicant has already submitted their application to Leanne, floodplain manager. And it is also required that they submit a flood evacuation plan to Leanne. We recommend that that be a condition of approval. I know the applicant has already been working on this with Leanne. And the evacuation plan will include monitoring protocol, parameters for when evacuation is required, and they have already indicated that the site the equipment will be taken to is the Iowa DOT maintenance facility on Highway 30 near the church to the north of Highway 30 where that new cell tower is, or the new communication tower is going that we approved a couple sessions ago. I will note on this floodplain development permit that it would be for the temporary batch plant only. So any future batch plants that would be on this site, any materials left over that they want to keep for future uses, would be required to have new floodplain development permits, as well as a modification or a new conditional use permit, depending. So this is the site up close. Again, Hallett's Materials here. The property is 47.24 net acres, and so the plant site itself represents 13% of that total area. There is an agreement in place to keep the rest of the site in agriculture, which will help meet, be compatible with the surroundings. And this is the site plan. I'll kind of point out what some of the features are. There is a 660-foot gravel parking area off of this access. Right here, you have some recycled asphalt stockpiles. Those may remain. We'll talk about a condition on that in a second. And then there are topsoil stockpiles here and here. Those are 10 feet in height. Here you also have some 10-foot in height limestone sand stockpiles for that's part of the product that goes into this. And here you would have the actual plant's location. The plant's location is a 40,000 square foot gravel pad. Those would be required to be elevated as part of the floodplain permit, 18 inches above the base flood elevation level. They are requesting that that pad and the gravel for the parking and the recycled asphalt stockpile remain on the site after this because future projects are anticipated. The proposed temporary asphalt batch plant and how it functions. It includes several tanks for fuel storage. There's a control house. There's a silo where the asphalt is actually loaded onto the trucks. And there's also several trailers that are part of the site for labs, parts, and a trucker's lounge. The Iowa DNR does permit these sites. They provided their air quality construction permit. The Iowa DNR also requires a National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, as does the county. They have submitted both of those permits to us. And the equipment on the actual plant ranges in 10 to 15 feet from height, except for the baghouse, that's for dust control and pollution control, and the storage silo, which are approximately 40 feet in height. The fuel tanks that are for the recycled fuel oil that go into the asphalt range from 6,000 to 12,500 gallons in size. So here's the layout of the plant. You can see the fuel tanks and the asphalt cement tanks. This is the bag house. This would be the silo, so those are the two taller parts. And here are some trailers down here. There are lime silos, and then there are conveyors that feed different things in to drums. So this is the site. We're looking west from the northwestern corner of the subject property, so that's the access that they would use. We're looking south. There is a farm, but no dwellings, located south of the site. You can see Interstate 35 looking east. Looking north from the southern end of the property now, you can see there's that established tree line in between this proposed use and house materials. And looking northeast, you can see 560th, on which this property is located. So moving into the standards for approval, the site is adjacent to Hallett's Quarry, which is actually required by the Story County Land Development Regulations that a temporary batch plant be located next to an extraction use. Then, like we spoke about earlier, only 6 acres of the parcel will be used for this plant. The remainder will be in agriculture, which is compatible with the use and zoning of the adjacent parcels. Regarding transition, there are those two topsoil berms that will be 10 feet in height on the south and east sides of the site. Those will be planted with a mixture of different grasses that are anticipated to be 3 to 4 feet in height. There is an existing tree line to the north of the site. And while most of the equipment is between 10 to 15 feet, there are some taller pieces of equipment that may be visible. Again, I-35 is located just to the east of the site. They may be visible from I-35, but again, this is a temporary use. There's no dwellings located around the area. It's just agriculture and extraction. So we don't anticipate there would be any negative effects on transition. And we can conclude that this criteria would be met. Regarding traffic, the access is required to be extended to accommodate truck traffic. The applicant has been working with the engineer on that. 70 truckloads a day are expected to come to and from the site, bringing in materials, taking out asphalt. Only the raw materials, so the gravel, et cetera, from Martin Marietta, from the Hallett's Materials site to the north, will be brought to the site during the day. The rest of the truck trips to the actual project site will occur at night because this is a night project. I did look up the traffic counts on 560th, and it is only 20 cars. However, with the truck traffic that's anticipated, the engineer and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended a condition that the applicant restore the road to its original condition and maintain the road as necessary while the site is in use. The engineer has already met with the applicant on the site to determine a baseline condition and the road maintenance needs. All the trucks will be routed on state highways, aside from that South Dayton area down onto 560th. There might also be a trucks turning portable sign on the roadway to alert the traveling public, but again, it's not a very high traffic road. It actually comes to an end to the south of the site. Parking and loading. Again, the only loading that will occur would be trucks getting loaded with asphalt on the site, or trucks unloading materials. There's no public access to the site. So the applicant has provided 11 parking spaces on that parking pad, which we feel is appropriate. It's the equivalent to one space per employee on the largest shift, which is similar to other industrial and manufacturing uses that we would, that following the site planning standards and parking ratios in the Story County Land Development Regulations. Parking and loading, we also look at the screening of parking spaces. There is that existing tree line just to the north of the parking area, and there are different types of stockpiles, both topsoil stockpiles, but as well as the material stockpiles that may provide some screening of the parking area. Moving into signs and lighting, again, this is a night project, so there is lighting proposed. It's 440,000 lumens, similar to this image which was submitted with the lighting specifications by the applicant. We do permit lighting over 1,800 lumens in the Story County Development Regulations if their light will not be emitted over a horizontal plane. At the lowest part of that light fixture, the applicant has stated that there will not be any horizontal shining. The lights are hooded and shielded, and that the lights will not be directed towards the roadway to create glare. So we feel like this condition, it can be included that lighting, signs and lighting condition is met. Regarding environmental protection, the applicant provided its stormwater and emergency plan, which includes how many times a day different parts of the plant are inspected, and different standards for what the inspectors are looking for. So, for instance, the stockpile materials are to be kept separated, and oil changing areas are to be kept clean. Tanks, lines, and pumps are inspected daily. And there are also metals and rock containers that are supposed to be used around pumps, tanks, and lines, loading and unloading stations to prevent spills. Also, under environmental protection, the applicant's plant does include a baghouse and a stack that are used to control dust and other emissions. This is permitted by the Iowa DNR. The contractor has also stated that they would water the gravel pad each night prior to the night's production, and staff recommends that the dust control measures on the road and the pad be made as a condition of approval so that the contractor would perform dust control as needed. Particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, and other emissions must meet emissions limits under state and federal law, and they all must be reported as part of that air quality permit. There isn't noise or odor anticipated from this site. The applicant has said that maybe an asphalt or odor would be present during production, but no crushing will occur. Continuing in environmental protection, there is an erosion control fence plan for the site that's on the site plan. That will remain in place until the plantings are grown to protect the areas of the site that have been disturbed and prevent further erosion. Again, the applicant has provided both of its NPDES permits. We do have landscaping required when impervious surfaces are created. The berms that are going to be planted equal 33% of the impervious surfaces proposed on the site, but we only require 20% be landscaped under the Story County Land Development Regulations, so they meet that requirement. The applicant's engineer also identified that maintaining the open agricultural fields and using gravel, which is more pervious than other paving, are best management practices according to the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and SUDIS specifications, which also meet our landscaping and stormwater standards in the Story County Land Development Regulations. A floodplain permit will be required, and so no excessive environmental impacts are anticipated. Moving into analysis, so if you conclude that the criteria we discussed is met, you must also conclude that if the project is completed as proposed, there is a strong probability that the developer will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in the adjoining or surrounding property. Again, no adjacent single-family dwellings, just the extraction use to the north is the only thing that is not in agriculture. Impairing an adequate supply of light and air. Again, they have an air quality permit from the Iowa DNR as well as a baghouse on the plant to address these issues. We don't anticipate any impairments of air or light quality. Unduly increase congestion in the roads or hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. We talked about traffic earlier, but again, there are 70 truck trips per day anticipated. Some will be at night, some will be during the day. We do have a condition on the restoration of the road. And there is traffic generated from the previously approved C&D site that we just had on the agenda, as well as a batch plant that's in the city of Ames on the former truck stop. So there is truck traffic there already, but we have taken measures to make conditions to address any issues related to that truck traffic in regards to impacts on roads. Diminish, impair, establish property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The assessor's office didn't have any comments on this, so we don't anticipate any negative impacts. And finally, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations, or C2C plan. This area is in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, so several policies do apply. The Rural and Urban Transition Area Policy, number 4, I want to point out, is to permit interim development to occur in a manner that will support long-term urbanization of the Ames Urban Fringe. And this, as it relates to a paving project and is a temporary use, does just that. There is also Natural Area Policy number 3, which applies, which is to mitigate negative impacts to natural areas. Again, they have several permits from the DNR, stormwater, air quality permits. They will be getting a floodplain permit and need to submit a floodplain evacuation plan. And finally, related to the floodplain, Ames Urban Fringe Policy 1.5.3 is that when development is allowed in the floodplain, the development has to be elevated, floodproofed, and located outside of a floodway, which this will be following the floodplain development permit that they will need to obtain. So we had several comments from the floodplain manager. I'll briefly summarize those. Basically, any material that remains on site needs to get a second floodplain development permit, the floodplain development permit that will be they will apply for if the conditional use permit is granted will only be for the course of that conditional use permit for the batch plant, so that would be until November 30th, 2017. Planning and development had several comments on potential conditions and things the applicant would need to do. Emergency management also reviewed the floodplain, or also reviewed the project as it is in the floodplain, and had some comments about how many hours after a heavy rain event and flooding starts in Story City, flooding might be anticipated in Ames. And we did receive several comments from the public. Again, the gentleman that came to the meeting, at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, was concerned about the floodplain. And we did receive a letter that I gave to you earlier on behalf of Monaco Corp, and the letter advised that Monaco may seek to prevent the sale of the property to Joe Manat and the Manat Group. The purchase of the property is currently the subject of a dispute. On that, I will say that the applicant, and what we require is that if the applicant is not the property owner, we have written consent of the property owner for the applicant to apply on their behalf. We have that. And we also have a letter from Henningsen, who will be the operator of the plant, consenting to the applicant to apply on their behalf as well. So our requirements are met. We routed this to cities within 2 miles and in the Urban Fringe Plan Ames and had no comments. And we routed these to Gilbert on June 5th, and we haven't received any comments. I presume there are none. So, points to consider. This, again, is a temporary batch plant, and it's necessary to accommodate the long-term growth and development of the Ames area. It's also required under the Story County Land Development Regulations to be adjacent to an extraction facility, which in this case is Hallett's. The two main extraction facilities in Story County would be Hallett's and Martin Marietta. Hallett's materials is further from residential areas. The closest dwelling, again, was across Interstate 35. And the proposed site is also closer to the repaving project itself that they're going to be working on, which creates shorter truck trips, less wear on roadways, and less time truck traffic is on the roadways with motorists. And finally, they will be required to obtain a floodplain development permit and separate floodplain development permits for any materials to remain on the site or any future batch plant that might be proposed for this site. So the recommendation of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission was to approve the conditional use permit with the following conditions. The facility, the batch plant, shall be removed by November 30th and the site restored to its original condition except for any stockpiles of recycled asphalt and the gravel pad. If no batch plant operates on the site and no new application is received for a new temporary batch plant on the site within 1 year of the removal of the batch plant, within 1 year of November 30th, 2017, the conditional use permit will expire and the gravel pad and stockpiles shall be removed from the site and the site restored to its original condition. Third, future temporary asphalt batch plant facilities are required to apply for a separate conditional use permit or a modification to the requested conditional use permit, depending on if this conditional use permit has expired or not. The fourth condition is that the applicant shall submit a flood evacuation plan to be reviewed by the county's floodplain manager and emergency management director as part of their floodplain development permit. Again, we have a note in here as condition 5 that a separate floodplain development permit will be required for the pad and stockpiles if they are to remain on the site, and for any future temporary asphalt batch plants. The sixth condition is in regards to the road. The applicant shall restore the road to its original condition and maintain the road as necessary, and the Story County engineer will need to grant approval before they can vacate the site of the road's condition. And seventh, the applicant shall water the gravel pad and the roadway to prevent excess dust as needed. So these are your alternatives. Again, Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of alternative 2. So approving the conditional use permit with those conditions. Questions?
Board, any questions?
So is this, are we anticipating needing that somewhere down the road? That's why they're holding off on cleanup?
Well, there are several projects. We looked at the Iowa DOT's highways plan. So there's several other I-35 projects just in Story County. I don't think they have necessarily bids approved or anything, but it's anticipated that there might be a need.
And did you have a picture of the three, of the different three that we were looking at? Or?
I think we can see them in one of the slides. You mean this batch plant, the other batch plant, and the C&D site? Yeah. Okay. So this is the request we're hearing tonight. This is the truck stop where that temporary concrete and asphalt batch plant is located in Ames. Okay. The Zoning Board of Adjustment in Ames approved that last month. And this is the general area of that C&D site. So here's 560th. That's what's used to access this request. And it kind of curves around to South Dayton.
So they're going to catch a lot of traffic on South Duff. Because to get off, to travel back and forth with that one exchange, interchange closed, they've got to go down, cross over at South Duff, come back up that area. Mm-hmm. I guess that's Ames worry.
And since these are both Iowa DOT projects that we heard tonight, they're using state roads.
Sure.
Those are approved home routes.
Any other questions? Anyone here from Nance wish to add anything?
Oh, I just want to. Joe Manette is the applicant, not Manette. Sorry.
Excuse
right.
me.
I just want to clarify. I'm Joe Manette, not with Manette's. My address is 147 34th Street in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks for listening to Amelia's presentation. I think she was pretty thorough in it. But just talking about the anticipation of projects down the road. Right now there is only one asphalt plant operating in Story County. And my hope is if you can establish a plant site, this being temporary for this job, we have that ability to look at projects down the road. And when we were here on June 7th, Mr. Moon said how strapped the county budget is for the roadway construction. And a plant site like this would offer another competitor, maybe another bid, to, you know, further extend those tax dollars. So the hope is we establish a plant site here, complete this job, and we look down the road for projects are low bid, so I can't say that we're going to get them. You got to turn in a bid and be competitive and then follow through on them. But this is definitely a strategic location next to raw materials and thoroughfares that you could service the county with a lot of the roadway projects that are going to come out. I see the plan right there in the next few years.
Is this just for the DOT construction project? Or
this project is just for the one project. And if Amelia said I'll have to resubmit for another temporary or a conditional use permit if we do have another project come up. But I can't foresee that because it's a low bid process, and we just wanted to do this on a temporary basis right now and see how it goes and see what budgets come out and see what projects come out. And if we do foresee something in the future, we'll apply for another conditional use permit. Project specific.
So if the city of Ames per se had a street or something that they wanted, that's not an option at this point for you to just go. I mean, if it's a convenient location,
I think it would depend on how the letting project goes, whether we're low bid or not. Right now, it's not foreseen anything like that. Something like this for a portable plant. You only come in and do larger scale projects. You don't come in and do city streets. So Story County, for example, lets a large project seemingly once every year or every other year. So it would bring that into, that would come into play, I would say, on a site like this.
So the question, this is more operationally, one of the conditions is that you have to restore the property back to its original condition if you don't use it within a year at the CUP. Are you bonded to do that? I mean, do you have a bond that's required? I know in I believe the cell towers, there has to be a bond filed that needed to be removed. So is that the case?
I don't have a bond, but I mean, I'm not opposed to getting one, and that could be maybe an additional condition upon approval.
I would think request of the bonds.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah. Thank you. We're gonna store the topsoil, so it's gonna be right there, and we're just gonna have to push it back over.
Okay.
So we are gonna reclaim. The materials are gonna be there to restore it.
Sure.
So, no further questions. Thank you for listening.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Any more from staff?
No.
All right. Then we will close the hearing and we'll deliberate. What do you want to do, board?
Can you go back to the conditions?
Yes.
Go back one slide. Thank you.
Do you want to summarize them again?
Sure. Do you want me to go through them again?
Oh, I can read them one slide.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add that one thing that's unique about this is they are required under our ordinance to locate adjacent to an existing extraction use, and there's really only two in unincorporated Story County. And as Amelia pointed out, this area is pretty much remote, surrounded by agricultural land, whereas the site further to the north probably has more dwelling units to consider. So I just wanted to bring up that point.
I move you can flip it one more time back to the... Okay. I move that we approve the conditional use permit for the temporary asphalt batch plant facility as put forth in case CUP 05-17 with the conditions that were previously stated.
No, second that.
Motion second. We move for a vote. Roll call, please.
Kratke?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
CUP grant?
Aye.
Okay, looking at any other business that needs to come before the board?
I have some information for you if we're at that point.
Good, sure.
Planning and development staff and other departments here in the county have been busy working on some ordinances that you should probably be aware of. And a couple of them are on the planning and development's work program. Also wanted to bring you up to speed on some issues involving a local mobile home park northwest of Ames. And then we recently had an Ames Urban Fringe Plan amendment, and then I just want to talk about a local fireworks sales business, which is it's our first and only one that we've had with a new law. So with regard to ordinances, we have a new special events ordinance. Before special events were addressed with the CUP process, which started with a submittal, a review of all the departments. They went to Planning and Zoning Commission, and then they came to the Board of Adjustment. This was something that was on our work program. There was a thought that, you know, we needed to streamline our process. With event planning, what we find is oftentimes people that are involved in event planning don't often think about checking with local government about permitting requirements, and really until it's too late. So, you know, some really tough decisions have to be made once, you know, once we're notified about what we do with it. Because if they're going to go through our CUP process, there's no way that they're going to be able to hold their event and get a permit through that process. So we've got a process that's a little more streamlined, less costly. Conditional use permits, $275. This is a $50 permit. It only involves pretty much the larger events, 250 or more than 250 participants, spectators. Participants. There's exceptions for like family events. It doesn't include graduations or if you have a party with friends, if there's no remuneration, if you're not being compensated, funeral processions, agricultural activities, if they're exempt under state law, they would be exempt under this permitting process. But our department would be the shepherd of the application. We would reach out to cities within close proximity. We would be contacting fire departments, first responders. And the idea is that it would be a between a 2 and a 3 day review, and then ultimately they would come to the Board of Supervisors and most likely be put on the consent agenda. So the ordinance requires that they submit the application and the fee and the information that we need to review it within like 21 days before their event. So we're hoping that this is you know, a much better process for organizations that do planning.
So in other words, a couple of years ago, maybe it was even over the past year, we had an application from someone that they were going to have a country western deal. Do you remember that? I think it was on Black Farm or something south of town, mm-hmm. South Ames.
Yeah.
And it came to us for the CUP. That won't happen anymore then, right? Is that correct?
You're talking about like a musical event?
Yeah.
If there's more than 250 people involved, it would be this process.
Okay.
Application. Again, it would be in departments in the building, in the county, but we'd be reaching out to other entities, first responders, fire department,
sure.
Police, and the idea is that it's much more streamlined so that we can review it and you know, if it's one that can be approved, get to that point a lot quicker, a lot sooner. Farm Retail or Novelty is no longer Farm Retail or Novelty. There was a concern, really, from several on the Zoning Commission that the existing Farm Retail or Novelty uses that we had kind of expand beyond the scope and the intent of what they were supposed to really be all about. They were losing sight of the agricultural aspect, the production,
and the raising of livestock, which is really the primary principal activity. And so there was a focus on kind of strengthening the definition or really clarifying the definition. They did not want us to incorporate more rules or regulations, but provide more guidance so that applicants would have a clearer understanding as to what kind of, you know, first of all, what is it really all about? What kinds of things can you do that are farm agritourism related? You know, the simple things are the apple orchards or the farm mazes. But there are things that are really secondary to the growing aspect or to the production aspect of, you know, raising livestock. If they can fit in the home business permitting process, it's something that that could be potentially occurring. You know, home businesses are really pretty limited. You're limited to the family members in the dwelling plus one person outside the dwelling. Traffic is supposed to be the same or similar to what you would find in a residential setting. And you can't have any outside storage. And so really, if you're meeting the requirements, your neighbors probably aren't going to know that you're running a home business. So, you know, if it can fall within the confines of a home business permit process, then it's something that you could do that way. We passed an ordinance on solar energy, so we're now equipped to handle like a solar-type farm. The process is the same, planning and zoning, and then they come before the Board of Adjustment for review. But the review, the criteria is really set up similar to what you would see with a wind energy conversion system. It's pretty extensive. Leanne Harder, our outreach coordinator, was the primary manager on that ordinance, but it involved several of the departments here in the county.
Is there any crossover with the solar between the county and the city of its locals, like that 2 mile city of Ames?
Well, if it's a request, and if it's in with the Ames Urban Fringe, it's got to be consistent with the land use planning policies. For the most part, so but you know, it's a CUP, and so a lot of that, you know, I think our position is that it's really a function of what zoning is and its extension of the zoning authority that the county has, but we definitely would reach out to the city of Ames or the city of Gilbert on a request that we would get like that. But you know, we also have the what is referred to as non-commercial solar systems, so you know, the rural community,
right.
Farmers, people that live in the rural areas, businesses, if they can still submit permits for solar energy. But this would be like a, you know, multiple on a large parcel,
right.
You know, where it's the sole purpose of trying to generate electricity for the grid. So now we're equipped to handle that if we ever get an application. Wanted to talk about Crestview. I don't know if you've heard about what's the status with Crestview Mobile Home Park. It's located northwest Ames. Board of Health several months ago took some action. There were some concerns with the water quality. I think at one time there were 60-some units in the park. And because of the status of the water, they took action to limit them to a total of 12, and they required some improvements to loop the water system. A few months after that action, the county received complaints from, you know, some of the people that lived in the park and I believe outside of the park, and it involved action by the Environmental Health Department. Our department got involved. There were over 20 some notices of violation that were sent. They were given 30 days to respond. The property owner ended up hiring an attorney. There was a recent board meeting this month to just kind of update the board about the status. And at that meeting, the property owner and his attorney came and informed the Board of Health that the property owner's plan is to liquidate the property, to sell the property. And they asked for an extension. They wanted 60 days. Well, actually, they wanted an extension of anywhere from 9 months to a year. after discussion, debate, what they ended up doing was requiring 15 of the units that he actually has junking certificates for that are under his ownership to be removed within that 60-day period. And then if that, because that's the first step, and if those are not removed, then we would proceed with the notice of violation. But the attorney asked for a point of contact at the county, and I know that it was discussed, but I don't know that the board of supervisors has taken action yet on who that contact person would be. But the attorney wants for the applicant, or for the property owner, wants to work with somebody directly on working on a schedule to phase out that use. So the next Board of Health meeting is, I believe, in the first Tuesday in August. And by that time, he's supposed to have these 15 removed from the park. And these are 15 units that no one is living in, but it's the first step in the process. So the Board of Supervisors did take action at their last meeting to offer some financial assistance to people currently living in the park. They're going to grant $3,000 to relocate existing units, to provide assistance with storage of materials, rent, situations related to this. There's a list of things. Carla Webb, the Director of Human Services, is administering that assistance. So there's a meeting that's scheduled for the 28th from 6 to 8 for the residences that live there. We're actually going to meet across the street. One of the property owners across the street offered to allow the county to come and kind of explain where we're at with the action on this property, and then also explain the assistance that's going to be available to the people that live there. So I don't know if you guys have any questions about that. There's been some things in the paper about it, but it's the goal is for it to go away. Ames Urban Fringe Plan, we had a request to amend the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Friedrich Land Development acquired three parcels south of Cameron School Road, west of George Washington Carver. It's about 100 acres, three separate parcels. Land use is a priority transitional residential classification, and he's requesting to change it to urban residential classification so that he can annex the property and then develop it under the city standards so that he can get city water, city sewer. City staff sees this as an opportunity to include some additional land to the east and to the north, which would include the golf course, the irons, the four parcels across the road. So it's the first step in the process. It requires two entities, Story County, Gilbert, or Ames, to vote to approve, to allow the applicant to submit an application to review. So Board of Supervisors approved, took action to allow it, and then the City of Ames took action in May 9th, I believe. And so Kurt Friedrich is permitted to submit the application to review. So I can tell you more as that progresses. And then we have, I think, the only legal fireworks sales business, Dark Sky. They're located on the south side of 30, just east of the interchange. They went through the review process. All the departments in the building reviewed it. They're selling materials out of the containers, which probably is a fairly safe structure to do that. There's one for sales, one for actual warehousing. It's a temporary use, June 13th through July 8th. Temporary sales facilities like this have a shorter window than the permanent facilities. But he's required to have Iowa Fire Marshal's license. They had to review the site plan. They had to do an inspection. Planning staff did an inspection, and we conditioned the board reviewed it, and it was conditioned. And we have a site review that we're going to do to follow up with them. But it's the only legal, legitimate business. So if you're looking for fireworks, that's, what is that, Dark Sky.
Then when you say the only one, it must be right here in the county, because there's another one right in Ames, right on the old Benson parking lot, right across from Earl May.
Yeah, this is the only one that we're aware of in unincorporated.
In unincorporated.
Yeah, right. That, you're talking Story County.
Story County,
yeah. Because there isn't there one here in Nevada? Over
there? Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
Stephanie was talking
One about is that. Out at Anytime Fitness, and then there's supposed to be a second one going in at Fairway. But the last, I was out there yesterday, I didn't see anything.
But there's pretty strict
them?
Rules. Pardon me?
Can we ban them?
Well, the state legislature took action.
Yeah, I know.
So we had to respond to it, and it actually fit into our definition of structure. You know, some jurisdictions are struggling with it. They're amending their ordinances to only allow them in certain districts, requiring conditional use permits. We view it as a retail use. They're in a commercial and industrial district. And as I said, it's a temporary use. They're regulated by the Fire Marshal's Office. We did communicate with the Fire Department here in Nevada, and their criteria was that they could do the inspection. They charge a fee for it, or the State Fire Marshal's Office could do the inspection, and that's what happened. So,
the trailer court you mentioned, isn't that within the city limits of Ames?
Unincorporated Story County.
Oh, it is an unincorporated. Okay.
Are there future plans for that? Is that why they're disbanding that?
Well, it's just all the issues that are there, I think. And again, we learned at the Board of Health meeting that, when the property owner brought his attorney, that's what their plans are. They want to sell the property and get out of that use, get out of that business. Any questions on any of that?
Nope. Questions, Lori?
Nope.
None. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Yay. All in favor?
Aye.